All right, welcome to the Situation Update for Monday, January 11th, 2021. I'm Mike Adams, I'm your host, and thank you for joining me today. We have really an extraordinary amount of information and analysis that you're absolutely not going to hear anywhere else. I spent most of the day yesterday texting and talking to numerous sources, including former military intelligence, a source that I have there in that sector, a source who's close to the president, another source that's tied in with the military on the West Coast. And also, I'm part of some intel group threads or group chats on certain, I don't know how to say, special groups, whatever, that I monitor. And there are hundreds of messages a day. And I was invited. It's not like I hacked in or anything. I've been invited to actually several groups. And so I've gleaned some information. It's really a game changer here. And I know you want me to jump right to the conclusion. So let's just give you that first, and then we'll go into the details. All right, here's the conclusion. It does seem to be true that Trump signed the Insurrection Act. Yes. I know that rumor had been floating around all day yesterday and all night last night and so on. I could not confirm that for like 16 hours or so, and I still haven't been able to absolutely confirm it, but I believe it has been signed. However, and this is the big caveat that no one else is talking about, however, the top military generals are refusing to follow the Insurrection Act orders unless Trump gives them what they want. And what they want is war with China. And so what's actually happening right now is that there is a mad negotiation underway. And that negotiation may be finished by the time you hear this. But it's a negotiation where the military leaders, there's two things going on. Number one, just like everybody else in Washington, they want to loot the country before the collapse. Everybody knows there's an economic collapse, a dollar collapse that's coming. That's going to happen whether it's under Trump or Biden. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. The economic collapse is almost here. Everybody in Washington wants to loot the whole system to the max before that collapse happens. And that includes people in the Pentagon who are really good at looting, you know, weapons manufacturers and analysts and contractors and so on. They're all looting the system. Frankly, almost everybody who lives in the D.C. area is a looter. they're looting the whole country. And this is their big final act of looting of the empire before the empire collapses financially. Doesn't mean it's over for America. It just means that it's going to have to be reborn with a new honest money system that maybe I'll have a chance to talk about that later. But that's just one of the two factors that the top military people have in mind right now. The other factor, which is more of an ethical factor, is that they see China as a very real, very extreme threat to the United States, and they do want the U.S. to initiate military aggression towards China. Maybe that's not the right way to put it. They want China to attack the U.S. so that they can respond. They want to be in a regional war with China. In other words, they want to destroy China's ability to continue to build more aircraft carriers, because China is in the process of constructing an aircraft carrier factory that would churn out a major, top class aircraft carrier about every, I think, 2 years or so, or 18 months, something like that. And once that goes online, the clock is ticking. Another aircraft carrier every 1 to 2 years, something like that, China will very quickly just swamp or dwarf the United States in terms of its ability to project military power overseas or, across the globe. And aircraft carriers, and I don't mean just aircraft carriers, but really carrier groups. So, there's a lot of ships that go with that, destroyers and subs and so on. But China is very good at manufacturing, and they've stolen so many secrets from the United States that the top people in the military here in the United States know that if they don't cripple China's military output capabilities now, then China will overshadow America's military might very, very quickly within the next decade, you know, within the 2020s for sure. So they want Trump to agree to allow the military to engage China in some way. And if you don't, you know, if you don't believe me on that point, there was something that just happened that you can confirm in the media that is just, it's mind-blowing. Well, there are actually two things that happened that are mind-blowing that will confirm this. Okay, the first is that, and this was reported by the Epoch Times, areas across seven Chinese provinces enter wartime mode following COVID-19 outbreaks. So China is putting its own population and provinces into a state of war, and it's using COVID as the excuse. Well, gosh, I thought China had conquered COVID. Remember the New Year's Eve photos from China? They were all out in the streets and, you know, partying and celebrating because, you know, they had succeeded in releasing the bioweapon to harm the West. And the West was locked down and the West was economically crippled by it, you know, talking about Europe and the United States. But China knew that the virus really wasn't as fatal anymore because of the, you know, the mutations and the host adaptation over time makes it less dangerous. So China was out in the streets on New Year's Eve while America was all locked down, especially New York City. And then now all of a sudden China is locking down seven provinces in a state of war and saying it's COVID, right? I don't buy that. But the second thing, which is actually bigger, is that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo essentially announced an end of the One China policy. And this involves Taiwan. And you may know the United States is sending an official, I forgot the woman's name or what exactly she represents, but a U.S. official is on her way to Taiwan. And it will be the first official visit onto the Taiwan island by a U.S. official in, what, since the 1970s, right? Since Richard Nixon switched recognition to mainland China. But Mike Pompeo, who is a patriot and who is on Trump's team here, Mike Pompeo announced an end to the One China policy. Now, China's One China policy, just so you understand that, China insists that there's only one China and that Taiwan is a renegade province of China. In other words, China claims that the communist CCP owns and controls Taiwan. But Taiwan considers itself to be its own country, which it is. And, you know, I lived there for a couple of years. And Taiwan is like the, it's like the pro-liberty, it's like the Texas version of Asia, you might say. Taiwan people are great. You know, they use free market principles. They have democratic elections. And they want nothing to do with the communists in China. And China's plan has always been to invade and conquer Taiwan. And Richard Nixon, during his administration, he switched recognition to communist China because Nixon was actually working for the globalists to move us toward where we are today, which is a global lockdown under communism and tyranny. And Richard Nixon also took us off the gold standard for our currency, which was another move desired by the globalists and the central banks. It was all by design, you see. And ever since that day, Taiwan has been, you know, vilified and bullied by China. And the United States had only recognized one China ever since that day, until now. And communist China is infuriated by this move by Pompeo. They're so infuriated by it. I mean, China likes to be the bully of the world, and they can't stand that this is happening. They hate the fact that this is happening. It's enough to get them to attack Taiwan or attack a U.S. naval warship near Taiwan, isn't it? Oh, interesting. So Mike Pompeo, who had talked about Trump continuing in Trump's second term, remember he said, yeah, there's going to be a smooth transition to Trump's second term. Mike Pompeo makes a decision that blows the lid off of China's patience, and in effect provokes China into attacking the United States at the same time that naval ships and aircraft are flying and going through disputed territory, which is technically international waters, but it's territory that China claims to be its own. So America, the American military, is very busy trying to get China to attack us. And the, you know, I just described the ways that that's happening. And then China is, in fact, preparing for war. China's preparing not only its own populations in those provinces, which includes Beijing, by the way, but also, you may recall in a previous situation update from, I don't know, a few days ago, a week ago, that Chinese leader Xi had told his troops to prepare for war with the United States. They know what's about to happen. So really where we are right now, as best I can tell, assessing information from multiple sources, you know, just to review here again, is that yes, the Insurrection Act has been signed by Trump, but no one will implement it unless they get what they want. That is, no one in the Pentagon will implement it. And by the way, Trump will never have the very top generals on his side, like Milley and so on. He'll never have them, but he doesn't need all of them. He only needs enough to carry out the Insurrection Act. And if the Pentagon gets what it wants, then they will pressure Milley and others to accept the Trump deal. And the Trump deal would be something like this. And this is the good news and the bad news. So here's kind of how I think the Trump Pentagon deal would be structured. And by the way, in Washington, D.C., everything's for sale. Okay, everything is a negotiation. Everything is a payoff. This is probably what frustrates the heck out of Trump. He's in there trying to do what's right for America. He's the only one in D.C. trying to do what's right. Everybody else in D.C. is just trying to, they got their hands out, you know, pay me off, give me this, give me that, you know, give us what we want. For the most part, that's all that D.C. is. So Trump is in a negotiation, and he's got to give the Pentagon what they want. And what they want is not just war with China, but they want the U.S. economy to be redirected into a wartime mode, where a significant portion of the entire economy, and especially the money printing, is directed into the military. You know, in the same way that Big Pharma wants to basically own the entire U.S. economy, and Big Pharma wants everybody to be sick and everybody to be vaccinated, Big Pharma loves the bioweapons and the coronavirus because they get to loot the economy. You know, with government, you know, there's already been hundreds of billions of dollars in grant money to the drug companies for these vaccines recently. And you know, more, quote, research into preventing biological attacks. Well, that's just bioweapons research with a pretty sounding name. But just as Big Pharma wants to loot the economy, and they've done a very good job of looting it, the Pentagon wants to loot the economy. You know, it's the old military-industrial complex that previous presidents have warned us about. It's a very real thing, and they want their slice of the pie, especially since the pie is about to disappear because everybody knows the system's going down. Again, why do you think Bitcoin is skyrocketing? People are bailing into Bitcoin. In other words, bailing out of the dollar into Bitcoin, you know, anything that they think can hold value, which, again, gold and silver might be a better choice for most people, but whatever. That, I'm not going to get into the financial details in this podcast. So the Trump deal with the Pentagon is going to look like this. The Pentagon will say, okay, Trump, we'll give you your Insurrection Act. We'll agree to go round up the traitors. You know, we'll agree to make sure that America doesn't get turned over to the CCP agents like Biden and the Democrats and so on. But in return, you're going to have to give us, the Pentagon, you're going to have to give us perpetual war with China. You're going to have to direct trillions of dollars to us because we're going to be fighting an endless war. Because you see, the war with terrorism, you know, Middle East terrorism, I should say, is largely over. And Trump had been pulling the troops out of that. And as much as the warmongers had tried to continue that war, there just wasn't a big enough justification for it. And Trump, in a big way, had become the anti-war president. And this is why Bolton hated Trump and turned on Trump. And many people in the military, because Trump wouldn't go to war. Because Trump doesn't believe in war. You know, Trump believes in economics as a way to beat the enemy. But the Pentagon people believe that war is necessary to defeat China. And by the way, they may be correct. They may be more right than Trump on this issue. It's hard to know. But China is a huge threat to the world. And if the U.S. Pentagon wants to go after China and take down the CCP, they actually have a point, you know? I mean, the CCP is the greatest danger to the world, and they've infiltrated the United States, and they've enslaved their own people, and they run organ harvesting, and they enslave entire ethnic groups, such as the Uyghurs there, and they run slave camps, and China provides the funding for Apple and Google and, you know, Twitter and Facebook, and they pay millions to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and CNN and all this stuff. So really, if you think about it, the Pentagon and Trump have the same end goal, which is to protect America from this big threat. They just disagree on the way to do it. And Trump, I think, doesn't want to risk what would happen in America if we go to war with China, because that would be a world war. And what if that world war goes nuclear? Then we all lose, right? So Trump doesn't necessarily want that. At least this is in my assessment. Obviously, I don't speak for him. And I'm just taking my best guess at where I think he is with this. Trump wants peace. You know, he wants peace and prosperity. The Pentagon wants to go in and freaking blow apart Beijing, which, you know, again, is if they focus on just taking out the communist leadership, that's not a bad idea at all. We don't want to harm the Chinese people. We want to free the Chinese people. But in order to do that, you got to take out the CCP. So my assessment of where this is going to end up is that they will reach a deal. I think they've already reached a deal, frankly. We just don't know about it yet. We'll probably never know. You know, this isn't the kind of stuff that you issue a press release. But they're going to reach a deal, or they already have, and then Trump's going to be given the go. So when everybody is out there saying, yeah, Trump has signed the Insurrection Act, that's true. But it doesn't mean anything unless the military is willing to enforce it. And right now, there are a lot of negotiations going on. I still think they're going on even with who to pay off. It's probably something like this, like, oh, you know, this top general, how much are you going to get? Okay, $1.5 billion in Bitcoin to you. Okay, you're in. Next guy, what do you want? Oh, you want to buy a private island. How much do you need? $300 million? Okay, $300 million for you. You're going to get it in Bitcoin. You know, it's just going down the line. Pay off, pay off, pay off, pay off. Get them all on board, and then boom, Trump's going to be able to move on this. Trump's the only guy who doesn't need a payoff, you know, because he's already a billionaire to begin with. So no doubt Trump is just watching all of this, the whole swamp. He's just probably his jaw on the floor is like, I had no idea this was going to be so corrupt. But it is. It's all a payoff. So that's where I think we are right now. And my characterization of this is that it's a mad looting of the empire in its last days. So the downside to this is pretty huge. It means that if all of this goes the way I think it's going to go, yes, Trump will be president for a second term, but we're going to be in a world war. And that's a horrible situation to be in. Some of you listening may have parents or grandparents who lived through World War II. And think about that. How many years, you know, 5 years roughly of never knowing if your country would survive. 5 years of sacrifice. 5 years of government enforced, you know, bread lines and what, sugar rationing and butter rationing and 5 years of the government demanding that you turn in junk metal, you know, and you had to buy government bonds. And then there was a draft. And 5 years of waking up each morning and not knowing if your country was going to exist for one more day. It's not an easy thing. you know, 5 years of newspaper reports with news of casualties of the sons and daughters lost during the war to the Japanese or the Nazis or wherever. Not an easy thing, but it looks like that's what we're about to go through. And at the same time that that's happening, by the way, of course, if Trump remains in the White House, then the radical left would be waging a guerrilla warfare campaign domestically in the United States. So you would have to deploy troop assets in the United States in order to deal with that domestic uprising at the same time that you're fighting an international war and trying to defend Taiwan against an invasion by communist China. And the trade disruptions involved in this would be just extraordinary. So you're talking about supply lines from China being cut off, rare earth minerals. U.S. companies that sell to China would be cut off from those sales, but the American people would run very short on everything that you can imagine, from, you know, electronics and auto parts. Most auto parts are made in China, and appliances and computers and everything that you can imagine would be out of supply. So the American people would go through a very, very difficult time. And on top of that, there's all the debt pressure, and Trump would have to print mad stacks of trillions in order to fund the war effort to defend the United States. And China is on the verge of an economic collapse right now, by the way, but also so is the United States due to its debt printing. So it's almost a question of sort of which superpower collapses first, you know, and who can do the most damage to the other one? It's a war of attrition on a global scale. And that is not a pretty picture. There would be a lot of suffering in the United States. So don't think that just because the military is in with Trump on this and that Trump gets a second term, don't think it's going to be an easy street. It's not going to be anything like that at all. It's going to be hell. Not due to any fault of Trump's, but I mean, just because war is hell. And that's where this ends up. But by the way, again, the Pentagon's not necessarily wrong on this. China, they want to destroy the United States sooner or later anyway. You know, that was apparent from one of their top generals, Hao Tian. He was in many of his speeches that we've talked about before. He described how they needed to commit genocide and murder every American. I think he also included North Americans, so Canada as well, and take over North America, occupy it, in order to get America's resources, which is mineral resources, obviously oil, you know, fossil fuels, but also land, farmland to grow food, ports, trade routes, and, you know, all of it. You know, the rivers, just the infrastructure, the railroads, everything. They need that in order for China to continue to expand on the world and eventually achieve world domination. And this is why China was so aggressive on infiltrating the United States and pushing for Joe Biden to become president, because Biden, just like Hillary Clinton before him, is prepared to put the United States on a war footing with Russia. And China wants the U.S. and Russia to destroy each other so that China can then come in and mop up and, you know, eliminate the weakened United States and take over and occupy all the land and so on. Oh, and by the way, all of the censorship that's now happening, the big censorship purge of big tech, it's all by order of China. So if you're wondering why, you know, this is crazy, why, how come Amazon just deplatformed Parler, and why is Google and Facebook, why are they all deplatforming conservatives? It's all on orders from China, because they all work for China. Okay, so that's where we are. And by the way, I've got reports of assets moving, military assets, orders coming down for deployment. I've got reports of people being called in, even some special forces, special operations forces people being called in and being activated. There was restricted airspace declared over, was it the Dulles airport in DC. I don't know if that's still on or not, but there have been a lot of things put in place over the last 24 hours or so that are pointing toward an Insurrection Act type of movement. Now, it's fascinating to me that there are National Guard troops that have been arriving in the DC area. And I think Virginia's National Guard troops were one of the groups that's there. And if you drive around DC right now, it looks like a military camp. They've got a 7-foot border wall around the Capitol building. They've got 7,000 National Guard troops there and so on. And then other Guard troops are coming in from other states as well. And as I mentioned the other day, some of those are the good guys. Now, if Trump and the Pentagon reach their deal, Trump would nationalize the National Guard troops that are already there. This is like Trump 5D chess, okay? And Trump would then have his second term, and he would just keep those troops in place to defend D.C. against the left-wing uprising. So it's funny that Pelosi and Pence think that these National Guard troops are there to protect Joe Biden. But in Trump's mind, no, he's actually going to take control over them, and they're going to be protecting Trump and a second Trump term against the left-wing uprising. So, but that assumes that Trump gets his way in all of this, which is not a 100% certain thing. If Biden wins in the end, then yeah, Biden's going to have the military presence there to protect him. And I would imagine we're going to see, if Biden gets in on the 20th, we're going to see major false flag attacks against Joe Biden to give the corporate media, as well as the Biden administration, more justification to weaponize the military against patriots. So that's where all this is going if Trump fails. It's going to be super nasty. In fact, I'm supposed to appear on the Alex Jones show today at noon Central to discuss some of the things that are going to happen. I don't know if that's going to happen because my own bandwidth is mostly shot because of the ice storms that happened yesterday and last night throughout Central Texas. So a lot of bandwidth lines are down, including my own. So I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it. But if I can make it, it'll be on Infowars.com at 12 noon. If I can't make it at that time, it'll be maybe we'll reschedule to the next day or two. We'll see. Now, Lynn Wood comes up a lot, and Lynn Wood has been banned by Parler, which was mostly a self-defense maneuver by Parler to try to prevent Amazon AWS from shutting off their infrastructure computing services. Lynn Wood had posted, I don't know, a week ago or so that he thought Mike Pence would be facing an execution squad for his treason. And this was widely interpreted by the left-wing media as Lynn Wood making a threat of violence against the vice president. Well, you know, number one, why isn't the left-wing media applauding that, since the left-wing media has been making threats of violence against Trump for 4 years? And the media celebrates leftists who threaten violence against Trump, you know? But since Pence, in essence, betrayed America on January 6th and refused to reject the fraudulent electoral votes, then now there's no criticism of Pence that is allowed. You see how that works. So Lynn Wood's comment has been mischaracterized, I believe, by a lot of the media to try to say that he's promoting violence against the vice president. Now, Lynn Wood has said some very, very shocking things. There's no question about it. And there are a number of people who have, in private conversations, either texting me or talking to me, they have told me that in their opinion, they think Lynn Wood has a screw loose or something. Personally, I'm not there yet. I mean, a lot of what he has said has turned out to be absolutely correct. For example, when he was criticizing Kelly Loeffler before the Georgia runoff election, remember what he said? He said that Loeffler and Perdue would turn on us and that they should prove that they're worthy of our vote. They should prove they're going to stand up for Donald Trump. Remember that? And then everybody attacked Lynn Wood for saying that. And then January 6th happened. And then what did Loeffler do? Oh, she immediately betrayed Trump, just like Lynn Wood said she would. So Lynn Wood has been proven correct again and again and again. And Lynn Wood was proven correct that Pence would betray us. And, you know, he's made a lot of accusations against Justice Roberts. I bet he's right. I bet he's right. So here's, let me read you a tweet from Lynn Wood. It was up on Parler before they canned his account. Here's what Lynn Wood is saying now. And you can take it or leave it. I don't know what to think about all these statements, but Lynn Wood is not someone that you can easily dismiss. He's not a screw loose nutcase like the media makes him out to be. He's a very serious defamation attorney. He's a very successful, you know, lawyer, and he is connected to a lot of high level people. So take this for what you think it's worth. Here's what he says, quote, "Over the next 10 to 14 days, you will learn shocking information about many of our government officials and wealthy elite. Child sex trafficking and pedophilia are the worldwide pandemic. Revelations will relate to Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Chief Justice Roberts, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Mike Pence, Jeffrey Epstein, Bill Gates, and thousands more. I have seen the evidence. It is conclusive. This truly is the battle between good and evil." And he goes on. He goes on with some more details about that. Oh, he also says, "Perhaps the most shocking will be the masterful actions of President Trump in ridding our country of debtor state status. Our financial system is a paper fraud. Time for bankruptcy and a fresh start. Just think, no more income taxes. Good time to own gold, silver, land, etc. Real assets versus paper. It is 1776 again. Stay tuned." So you can't argue with what he said there at the end. You know, there is a financial reset that's coming. The U.S. dollar fiat currency system will implode under any president. And this is a good time to get into real assets. I've done entire presentations about that. You know, real versus virtual. You know, your money in the bank, it's virtual. It's just digits on a screen. But, and to some extent, of course, so is cryptocurrency. But real assets are metals and land and ammunition and a John Deere tractor as I own. You know, things that are real, and land is one of the best. And some wealthy people invest in fine art or antiques, collectibles like collectible firearms and things like that. But I wouldn't know where to start with that. You walk me into a fine art museum, you know, I was like, that looks like somebody vomited on that canvas. I'm not paying $50 million for that. That's garbage. You know, I have a goat that could do that. You just stick a paintbrush up her ass and let her walk around on a canvas. She'd do the same art. I don't mean to be mean to goats. Sorry about that. No animals were harmed during the recording of this presentation. But seriously, fine art, give me a break. I'd rather have gold and silver and ammo and land, right? Real things. But the those who are criticizing Lynn Wood over this, and I do just want to present both sides to you here, are saying that Lynn Wood, they say that he's the one who lost the Georgia runoff election because Loeffler only lost by, what was it, like 0.5% or something. And if not for Lynn Wood, these people say, then Loeffler would have won. Well, you know what? That argument's false, and here's how you know that. Because no matter how many votes Kelly Loeffler had in the runoff election, the Democrats were going to rig the machines to produce more. See? Same thing is true with the general election. No matter how many Americans turned out to vote for Trump, which I think it was over 80 million, no matter how big it was, didn't matter. They were going to delete millions of votes for Trump and add millions of votes for Biden. So, I mean, if it's rigged, it's rigged. So you can't argue that, oh, well, this person, you know, hurt the turnout. Turnout was irrelevant. Your vote never mattered because the machines are all rigged, you see. This is why, I mean, I've had the same conversation with other people about COVID-19, and you may recall I was criticizing Trump back in March about not getting up to speed quickly enough on acknowledging the COVID situation, which got really bad in April before it tapered off. But now, knowing what happened on November 3rd, it turns out none of it mattered. you know, whether Trump had more people show up or fewer people show up is all irrelevant because the election was rigged anyway. Okay. So that's my take on three people. There's Simon Parks, Michael Jayko, and Lynn Wood. And, you know, again, think whatever you want. Oh, one more tweet from Lynn Wood. These big tech Goliaths are about to get hit with a small, smooth stone, and they will fall hard in a few days. Patience. Wait on the Lord. You watch it happen. I should add one more criticism from many people is that Lynn Wood and the Q movement, they say that their job is just to lead patriots on, just to lead you on and kind of hypnotize you into inaction to the point where the clock runs out and then Biden gets inaugurated on the 20th anyway. And then Q, they say, would be revealed as a massive disinfo, you know, CIA campaign or something. You probably heard that criticism as well. And, you know, I don't think that that's the accurate explanation, actually. When you hear Jeffrey Prather talk about Q being, or the leader of the Q team being Ezra Cohen Watnick, and how Trump has put Watnick in place on the Public Information Declassification Board, and the role of the 305th Battalion Military Intelligence, and so on, there are many truths that may resonate with people about all of this. It doesn't mean that every, you know, all the claims of the Q groups have to be believed wholesale. I mean, a lot of it is silly, like, you know, trust the plan. Well, no plan survives contact with the enemy, right? So, you know, your plan falls apart on day one. So I don't, you know, you shouldn't be trust the plan. It should be, you know, have adaptability and resources to deploy and to defend the nation. But that is what Trump is doing as well. I kind of think of the Q messages as a kind of a watered down, simplified mantra version for, it's kind of like an introductory course of sorts to people who don't yet know all the inner workings of what's going on. It's way more intricate than what anyone could tell the public. So it's convenient to just kind of encapsulate it into slogans, you know, like the Patriots are in charge, or trust the plan, things like that. These are just slogans, but they don't really accurately describe the intricacies and the complexities of what's going on behind the scenes, some of which I've described to you here today. So could you say that Patriots are in charge? Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you think about Pentagon generals sitting down with President Trump. They're all patriots and they're all in charge, but there's still got to be payoffs. You know what I mean? There's still got to be negotiations. People are still looting the system. You know, there are patriots in Washington, but they all want their cut of the pie. They're all involved in the mass looting, except Trump. You know what I mean? So it's way more complex than just white hats and black hats and good guys versus bad guys. This is all, I mean, the system is run by human beings, and human beings have complex psychology. So I don't buy the Q simplification, but it doesn't mean that Q is wrong in everything. It just means it's an oversimplification of things that are actually happening. At least that's my take on it. Now, another important concept that I want to cover here is how badly the left wants a civil war. Everything that Pelosi is doing right now is attempting to incite a civil war reaction against a Biden president. So this effort to impeach President Trump via the 25th Amendment and the demands that Trump be removed from office because he's dangerous. Oh, he's dangerous. Really? He's not the one that's paid off by the Chinese, by the way. The real dangers to our country are the Democrats and the corrupt GOP members. But Trump is not dangerous to our country. Trump's the one trying to save it. But the reason they're trying to get rid of him is, of course, number one, they know that Trump is about to move against them. But then secondly, they want the hyper reaction from Trump supporters, the emotional rage that would be unleashed if Trump were removed from power with just 10 days to go. or less than 10 days. So they actually want a civil war. And the reason they want that, they want the Patriots to have an armed uprising, because that feeds right into the plans of being able to invoke the Insurrection Act under Biden and being able to roll out a military police state that they, of course, previously accused Trump of wanting to roll out. Remember that? For the last 4 years, it was, oh, Trump wants to be a military dictator. We can't have that. And then when the Democrats think they're about to have power, what do? Roll out a military police state, you know? That's because that's who they are. Remember, they always project what they actually are. So they want patriots to attack, you know, governor's mansions in Washington state, which I think there was something like that happened a few days ago. They want patriots, they want militia groups to try to attack, you know, the White House with Joe Biden in it or something. In fact, the Democrats probably wouldn't care if Biden got killed in that attack. That would just give them even more justification. Oh my God, you know, and then they could get Biden out of the way, throw Kamala there into the seat, which is what they want. You know, they want a so-called black female president, because then you can't criticize anything. Oh, you're a racist and you're a misogynist, you know. that's what they want. So if they can't get patriots to rise up and attack on their own, then they will fake it. So they will stage false flag events. If Biden gets into power, not only will you probably see false flag events on the 20th, but also for the next 4 years or however long the American empire continues to exist, it's going to be false flag city, basically. Just false flag after false flag. Kind of like the Obama years, but a lot more. So they'll pull off, you know, another Sandy Hook or another Oklahoma City or another 9/11 or whatever. And you can bet it's all going to be the fault of conservatives and Trump supporters. The media will push the narrative just like they did from the so-called riots on the 6th. And they will censor anybody who disagrees, of course. And then they will say, well, all conservatives are terrorists and all Christians are terrorists. We found a Bible in the backpack of one of the attacker terrorist persons. Yeah, they were carrying a Bible. That must mean all Bibles are bad, all churches are bad. So you see how that logic goes. Now remember, when a leftist carries out an act of violence and is caught, we're always told, well, you know, the actions of one person don't represent an entire group. But when they can stage one Christian or one gun owner as being involved in an attack, then they're going to say, well, all Christians are bad. Remember, the left never uses logic or reason. It's always about shoving disinformation down your throat, using the media monopoly and the big tech monopoly to gaslight the nation. So they want a civil war. And this is one reason why I urge patriots to not start a civil war. It's going to feed right into the narrative of these leftists. Now, you know my position on firearms. It's always been defensive. It's, hey, if they come for us, you know, we're gonna defend ourselves. But I've always said, I don't go out, or I don't encourage others to go out and look for trouble or look for kinetic engagements. I guess the only exception to that would be if your nation really is under attack in a time of war, and you know, Chinese troops on U.S. soil, or what have you, or Chinese generals directing their troops on U.S. soil, or U.N. troops, or something, then obviously, you know, you got to join the resistance to defend the republic in those scenarios. But when it's a domestic situation, if it's Americans versus Americans, as you know, it gets very, very dicey when people try to use violence to achieve an overthrow of power. And this is why defending the elections was so critical, and why the GOP really betrayed America, because the only peaceful way to transition power is when you have fair and free elections. And that was just taken from us. And I know many people online are arguing, well, you know, what's left? What options are there other than a Second Amendment option? And I would say, let's just watch and see what happens for the next 9 days here with Trump and the Insurrection Act and even the hand of God here. Let's just wait and see, because the left wants a civil war and they want patriots to start it. That's the narrative they want, because they want to be able to crack down and turn America into a giant police state. And under that police state, they would roll out malicious checkpoints to take away your guns. You would no longer be able to carry a gun or even own a gun. They would probably go door to door to confiscate weapons or attempt to. That would set off a war. They would probably have checkpoints for vaccination mandates. So you'd have to be vaccinated to be able to travel on the roads. And they would, you know, you'd have to have a mask and so on. They would really turn America into communist China very quickly. I mean, they're already in the process of doing that. And you know, as much as it can be incredibly frustrating to see this process go down, we need to right now, I think, wait and see what Trump is going to do, what the military is going to do. And, you know, also don't forget, these military generals, they know that if the CCP takes over America, that they themselves are going to be among the first to be executed, because communist China doesn't want U.S. American military generals at all. They have no use for them. So right now, inside the Pentagon or at that level, even the military people that hate Trump have to be thinking to themselves, you know, well, wait a second here. If I support Trump and help Trump secure a second term, I may not like Trump, but at least I'm not dead. Whereas if I support Biden and the CCP comes in and takes over, then we're all dead. So, you know, even there, not only do these generals want payoffs and bribes and everything, but they also do have a sense of self-preservation. They don't want to die in some kind of commie firing squad either, you know? So at least we can rely on that sense. So let's just give this, you know, a couple more days here and see where it goes, and find out what Pompeo is working on, and Trump and General Flynn and Sidney Powell and so on, because, you know, we really got to give these people a chance to save, you know, to do what's necessary to save our republic, and then just be ready to support them and be ready for the left-wing uprising that's going to take place if Trump secures his second term. And I still talk to people almost every day, and I ask their assessment, you know, people who are connected in, I say, does Trump secure his second term? And they say, yes, absolutely. He's got it. He's got his second term. And I understand that they're, what they're saying runs counter to the media narratives right now, but that's to be expected. The media is lying to you. The media is trying to gaslight the country. All right, now I'm going to talk about the censorship purge that's happening right now and possible solutions there. Representative Devin Nunes has called for criminal charges against the tech giants. He's saying that the CEOs who are doing this, that is the censorship against conservatives, should be prosecuted criminally. Here's really what he says. This was in an interview. Quote, it doesn't even matter if you're Republican or conservative. If you don't want to be regulated by left-wingers that are at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, where you got shadow banned and nobody gets to see you, they get to decide what's violent and nonviolent. It's preposterous. So I don't know where the hell the Department of Justice is right now, or the FBI. This is clearly a violation of antitrust, civil rights, the RICO statute. There should be a racketeering investigation on all the people that coordinated this attack, on not only a company, but on all of those like us, like me, like you, Maria. He was talking to Maria Bartiromo. These CEOs who are doing this should be prosecuted criminally. I've been talking to many of my colleagues, Republicans on the House side, and a couple senators, the Supreme Court. These federal judges have got to step in. All right. So I want to add to what Representative Nunes has said there. And by the way, point out that I called for the arrest of the tech giant CEOs, I think 3 years ago. So you wonder, you know, again, I'm being honored with the I Told You So awards by another group soon. That's coming up, because everything that I said over the last, you know, few years is coming true now. And people who thought that was crazy, like, why would you want to, you know, have the military seize Facebook and arrest Zuckerberg. But now they're like, oh yeah, okay, now we get it. We get it. So I want to reiterate and double down today and say, yes, I am once again calling for President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act and to deploy the military to seize all of the operations of the big tech companies that are engaged in this extreme malicious censorship against conservatives. And that would include Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Vimeo, Pinterest, and a bunch of others. And, you know, banks and credit card processing companies, anybody that's discriminating against conservatives needs to be shut down. And there's a very easy way to do that, which I'm going to recommend here. And I haven't heard anybody else calling for this, so this is a first probably. I'm calling on Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to immediately seize the domain names of all the tech companies that are engaged in the censorship of conservatives. So you know how the State Department routinely seizes domain names of websites that are involved in brand piracy. For example, you know, Gucci, fake Gucci purses or fake Rolex watches, whatever. It's always made in China. But every once in a while, you'll see an announcement from the Department of State, you know, the State Department, and they'll say, yeah, we seized these five domains. In fact, there was one not long ago. They seized a bunch of websites that were involved. They said they were involved in selling fake COVID vaccines. Yeah, it's by the way, fake COVID vaccines are probably safer than real COVID vaccines. So that's a little irony there. But it would be safer not to take any vaccines or just take care of your immune system. But the State Department routinely seizes websites, so they have the authority to do so. So why not right now seize Amazon.com? Because they're deplatforming Parler just based on Parler's viewpoint. So it's viewpoint discrimination. Why not seize Google.com, Facebook.com, Twitter.com, YouTube.com? And the brilliance of this maneuver, by the way, is that you don't have to send in troops. You don't have to send in lawyers. You don't have to do anything. Just seize the domain names and then wait for them to come to you. Believe me, if you seize Facebook.com, Facebook's going to notice. You know, they're going to say, whoa, what happened? Facebook's down. Yeah, it's going to stay down permanently until you show up and you sign this new consent decree and you, you know, Zuckerberg resigns and you agree that Facebook is a public utility of sorts or should be regulated like one. And you agree that you will not discriminate against conservative Americans or Christians or anything like that. And then you can have your domain back. And if you screw up and keep censoring, we're going to take it again. And believe me, Facebook would sign that agreement in about 15 minutes. And that's how you get it done. That's called art of war. So I want to get that out to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, that's how you solve this, okay? It's a very simple solution, and you don't even need troops. Although, the troops would be fun to watch, to go in there and take down Facebook. I want to see U.S. Marines carrying servers, you know, like a rifle slung over their shoulder and their hands full of servers. I think that would be great. And just dismantle Facebook and do the same thing with Google. Just dismantle them piece by piece and then let the military set up like their own gaming farm or something, because most of the soldiers just like to they really enjoy playing video games when they're not on duty. So give them a gaming farm. Exactly. All right. Now, I also want to mention that Ken Paxton, the attorney general from Texas, as I reported yesterday, has said that he's going to fight against this big tech censorship purge that's targeting conservatives. And Paxton, he is a warrior here. But I want to mention, why stop at Paxton? So I want to encourage you listening to this to find the attorney general for your state. And remember, most states are run by conservatives. Most states in the country are conservative. But talk to your AG and demand an investigation into the censorship of conservatives. And they should investigate Amazon and Google and Facebook and all of them and just have them talk to Paxton. in Texas who's launching an investigation into this, no doubt. And by the way, what states can do to enforce this, it's really cool. States can, for example, ban Amazon from conducting business in their state unless Amazon agrees to stop discriminating against conservatives. So in other words, it'd be like, hey, Amazon, you know, this might be Paxton calling up Bezos. Hey, are you busy, Bezos? Are you a busy bee, Bezos? Yeah, I thought so. Bezos, you know how Amazon does like $500 billion in sales in Texas every year? Well, guess what? We're going to ban you from conducting business in Texas. We're going to seize your fulfillment warehouses in Texas unless you stop banning conservatives from using your computational infrastructure services known as AWS. And then Busy Bee Bezos would have to make a decision. Does he want to cut off all of Texas from Amazon.com? Or does he want to maybe stop censoring conservatives? So that's one thing that you can do. And by the way, Facebook has offices in many states all across the country. So does Google. So does YouTube and Twitter and so on. So there are offices, there are employees in many states, definitely in Texas and lots of others all around the country. The second thing that states can do is they can issue fines against these companies for every instance of censorship against a citizen of the state. So in other words, the state of Texas could set up an online form that says, hey, if you live in Texas, you're a Texas resident, and if you have been unfairly censored by, let's say, YouTube, because you put out a video that they didn't like, you know, a video of, let's say, a pro-Trump video, and they didn't like it, you got banned from YouTube, you can file a report. And once we check it out and verify it, we will fine Amazon $1 million for every report of censorship. Or I'm sorry, YouTube. We'll fine YouTube $1 million for every instance of censorship. So then you get about 1 million people in your state to do that, you know, and you got $1 million per fine, and you know, times 1 million, that's $1 trillion. And then I kind of mentioned this yesterday, by the way, but this is how you stop them from censoring people. So the states have real power to do this, especially given that states that companies like Amazon have a physical presence in those states with their fulfillment centers. And Amazon has a fulfillment center in every state. In fact, multiple centers in nearly every state. And most of these other tech companies do as well. So that's how you get this done. It's time for the state attorneys general to stop playing games, stop playing footsie with Bezos, and start hammering them with the authority that you have in your state. You can sue these companies, but you can just start fining them. You could even talk to the ISPs in your state that are carrying bandwidth, and you could ban those companies from having their traffic carried in your state. In other words, you could ban Amazon.com TCP/IP traffic from entering the state of Texas. That's another way to do it. All right, now finally, I want to bring you some news about the coronavirus vaccines, and this comes from the Ron Paul Institute, a really excellent article that appeared yesterday. Here's the headline. A nursing home had zero coronavirus deaths. Then it vaccinates residents for coronavirus, and the deaths begin. insane, right? So here's part of the story. Things seem to be working backwards at the St. Commons on St. or I'm sorry, at the Commons on St. Anthony Nursing Home in Auburn, New York. Vaccinating people is supposed to reduce or end coronavirus deaths, right? But at the Commons, such deaths are reported to have occurred only after residents began receiving coronavirus vaccinations. James T. Mulder wrote Saturday at Syracuse.com that until December 29th, there had been no coronavirus deaths at the Commons. December 29, when deaths of residents with coronavirus began occurring at the Commons, is also 7 days after the nursing home began giving coronavirus vaccinations to the residents, with 80% of residents so far having been vaccinated. Over a period of less than 2 weeks since December 29, Mulder relates that 24 coronavirus-infected residents at the 300-bed nursing home have died. So you got it? So nobody died from coronavirus. Then they come in with the vaccines. And then within a week, 24 are dead, which is, I think, 8% of 300. So if I did that math right. So 8% are dead within a week. Well, that's because, as I've said over and over again, the coronavirus vaccine is a depopulation weapon. This is the whole point, is to kill people. And they definitely want to kill the elderly, but they also want to kill you. Now, if you think about it, there's so many ways the government wants to kill you now. They want to kill you for being alive, hence the bioweapon and the vaccine. They also want to kill you for being a conservative now. You're a terrorist, didn't you know? They want to kill you if you're a white person out there listening. They want to kill you for being white. They want to kill you for being a Christian. They want to kill you for having children because they don't like, you know, babies and families and such. They want to kill you for being a Trump supporter. You're living in like a death arena. You know, it's like some crazy dystopian sci-fi Orwellian nightmare novel. I don't know what would be the best example of that. Maybe Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You are the Running Man. You're in this giant arena and everybody's trying to kill you while the radical left just watches and laughs for entertainment. But little do they know that they're going to get killed too by the globalists, because it's all about depopulation. That's the thing about leftists. They think they're part of the system. They think they're the ones that are going to be remaining. No, the system wants them dead too. They're just useful idiots for a temporary time frame here. So wow, if you ever wanted more evidence that these vaccines are killing people, there you go. That's happening in Syracuse or Auburn, New York. It's just unreal. That's what's going on. All right, so then just to summarize everything here, I know this has been more of a lengthy podcast. We are on the verge of a major shift. Our futures are all going to be very difficult in the physical world here, regardless of whether Trump or Biden is president. I think Trump has enough support to be able to invoke and deploy the Insurrection Act, and I suspect that that's coming soon. I hope it is, but there could be sabotage from the inside that stops it. No matter who's in the White House, it's going to be dicey. There's a global depopulation agenda that is very real, and they are trying to kill everybody with vaccines and to economically kill everybody with weaponized lockdowns, mandatory masks, and so on. There is a global financial collapse that is coming. It is inevitable, and it cannot be stopped by Trump, nor by Biden. Of course, Biden doesn't want it to be stopped. They want masses of homeless, destitute people who are easy to control. So if you are sitting on dollars, and that means treasuries, or that also means money in the bank that's denominated in dollars, you may want to think about what could survive a dollar collapse better than the dollar. Because in a dollar collapse, dollars become nearly worthless. You could lose 90% or 99% of the value of your dollars, whereas right now, you can trade dollars for other things, like a piece of land or a bar of gold or something, you know, or even, if you can find it, a firearm. So that's something to think about. We'll probably cover that more in another episode. I do want you to just understand that we are looking at the end of the American empire. It will not last, in my opinion, longer than the next 4 years or so. That's probably about it. And it may not even last 2 years. This is the final looting stage, where everybody in a position of power is simply trying to loot the system. If Biden gets into power, he will, of course, print trillions to hand out to his buddies in the Democrat Party. It will be a massive final looting of the system. And anybody stupid enough to be left holding dollars in their bank accounts, they will find out that they're losing everything when the music stops. So when the government starts to loot the country, it's time to get out of the fake currency. And I can't advise you what to get into or whether you want to buy Bitcoin or whether you want to buy gold or land or whatever. It's every situation is different. But frankly, the options that are convenient are usually not very safe. And the options that are safe are very inconvenient. You know, it's a hassle to buy a farm. You know, it's a hassle to buy a house. It's a hassle to move. It's a hassle to have a bunch of silver in a vault and then have to protect the vault. And you got to get a gun. And then you got to get gun training. And then you got to get a security system and so on. You know, it gets complex. Just having money in the bank sure is easy, but it's also easy for them to take it from you. Not that they'll, I mean, they're not going to take your actual dollars. They're just going to, they're going to print so much that your dollars will be worthless. So it's looting without having to steal from you. It's systemic looting. It's monetary debasement looting. And that's what's coming. It's going to be horrific. And even if Trump's the president, the military is going to need trillions of dollars to fund, you know, more aircraft carriers and so on. Well, that's going to be trillions of money printing that's going to debase the currency as well. And one thing that Trump has proven in his first term is that he can spend even more money than Barack Obama. He has outspent Obama, which none of us thought possible. I mean, Obama took us from, remember, 8 or 9 trillion in debt to about 16 trillion. And then Trump took us from 16 trillion to about 29 trillion. And that's, he's just getting warmed up, folks. There's going to be, whether it's Trump or Biden, it's going to go from 29 trillion to like 50 trillion or something in the next few years. And it's just going to be a giant blowout. So that's my assessment of where that's going. Just prepare to lose everything that you have that's denominated in dollars. Okay, so that's kind of an overview of everything. I do think Trump has signed the Insurrection Act. I do think that the military is in the process of approving its deployment or has already agreed to do so. I do think crazy times are coming. I absolutely think that you should be prepared with, you know, food supplies and be able to live with a grid down scenario, be able to live without the municipal water working for a period of time, you know, be able to defend yourself with a legal firearm, and probably a ballistic vest would be a good idea if it's legal. Just be ready for anything, because these are going to be very dicey times here, not just the next 10 days, but I kind of think the next 5 years, frankly. So remember how I said, if you thought 2020 was bad, you haven't seen anything. 2021 is going to make 2020 look like a walk in the park. And you're starting to see why that's true. And it's only just beginning. So, you know, the joke online is like, 2020 said, oh, that was awful. And 2021 said, here, hold my beer. It's going to get way worse. And it will. All right. So thank you so much for all your support. We are burning lots and lots of revenues, money on bandwidth right now for Brighteon.com. Oh, let me give you a tech update too. Brighteon suffered some outages yesterday because of the extreme load. Lots of people are coming to Brighteon and we're burning bandwidth like mad. It's over 300% higher than what it used to be. I mean, December was compared to November. And I don't even know what January is going to be. It's probably going to be insane. The best way to help support us is you can shop at the either the Brighteon store, which is just brighteonstore.com, or go to healthrangerstore.com and check out our over 600 products, lab-tested superfoods, nutrition, home care, you know, fragrance-free laundry detergents with very safe ingredients for your laundry and dishwashing detergent, body soap, and also preparedness items, such as certified organic lab-tested storable food. I think we're the only ones in the world that sell that certified organic and lab-tested as well for heavy metals and glyphosate and everything else. Well, not everything else, but I mean microbiology and so on. So check all that out at healthrangerstore.com. Every purchase helps us pay for the bandwidth because we're subsidizing it. You know, everybody's uploading videos, which we want. And then we're paying for the bandwidth, and there really aren't, you know, Brighteon is not breaking even. It's being subsidized by us, you know, through store sales. So if you support us through the store, we can continue to support the network and continue to host videos that are banned everywhere else. And that's part of our goal here, is to be a beacon, a lighthouse, a safe harbor place where you can go and find videos that everybody else is deleting because they don't want you to have ideas outside the system. Well, welcome to Brighton, where you can think for yourself. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the founder of Brighton, and the publisher of naturalnews.com. Take care.